Welcome to Our House, the only complete on-air resource for your home ownership needs. Now, here's the host of Our House, Peter Hunt.
Good morning and welcome to Our House. This is Peter Hunt, and this show is brought to you by the continuously updated huntrealestate.com, where everything is truly easier for your real estate and home ownership experience. And there's many websites out there you can go to learn about various aspects of real estate, including national websites that claim to have the best, most accurate information. Save yourself a lot of trouble. Just go to huntrealestate.com. That's got everything you're going to need for your real estate and home ownership experience. And it's powered by Hunt Real Estate ERA here in Buffalo, Niagara, all across upstate New York, even out to Phoenix, Arizona, and Boston, Massachusetts by our links. This show is also brought to you by Hunt Mortgage. Call Hunt Mortgage today, 633-3700, and ask one of our skilled mortgage consultants to work with you to find the lowest rate and closing costs for your particular home financing needs and wants, and that's our guarantee. Also ask about our many exclusive programs, including our pre-purchase commitment that allows you at no cost or risk to effectively enter the market to find your next home with cash. And that's a very, very important thing today, given the fact that there's limited inventory all across the country, but in Western New York and all across upstate, it's as limited or more so than any place else in the country. So when you are looking for a home, you want to make sure you can compete. Cash is always king in all businesses for the most part. But when you're looking at a house, the equivalent of cash is a actual mortgage commitment. We can issue one, no cost, no risk, 633-3700 for personalized, customized service that will knock your socks off. And check out that low rate guarantee. Don't forget about the first ever 24/7/365 real estate hotline, the Hunt Hotline, which gives you access to all available information about any property listed for sale in Buffalo, Niagara, Rochester, Syracuse, Albany, Utica, Watertown, even Phoenix, Arizona. Simply dial 716-631-4800. That's the local number for properties in this area. Enter the street number of the house you want to know about, no matter whose listing it is. And the hotline will prompt you with the choice of street names. Select the one you want. You'll hear a brief description, and then you'll be texted a link to a dedicated website on that property, all automatically and just that fast, anytime, in any market we serve on any listing, whether it's ours or any other broker's. Could be any broker's. You drive by some of these real estate signs, and there's 14 things on them. It's very difficult to read. These are real easy, 631-4800, and you'll get right to the source of the information without delay. We have a very active real estate market right now, believe it or not. I was interviewed yesterday on one of the television stations about the conditions in the real estate market here and what people are doing given the restrictions under the COVID-19 pandemic regulations, and the fact of life is it's been a very active market. We had over 15 offers on one listing this week. We had another listing that sold $100,000 over the list price. So if you're thinking about the kind of upside that you can experience through putting your home on the market today, I don't think I've ever seen a better time. So call Hunt today, 631-4800, to learn more. We are the official real estate and relocation provider of our hometown professional teams, the Buffalo Bills, the Buffalo Sabres, and the Rochester Americans. We hope to see them all in their respective sporting venue very, very soon. We are broadcast live here on WBEN. If you'd like to participate in our show today, you can call us from the studio at 803-0930 or 1-800-616-9236. If you're long distance and star 930 if you're mobile, those are all free calls, and you can text us at 30930. So participate if you'd like today. We have a very special show for you today. My guest, live remote, respecting social distance, is the Comptroller of Erie County, Stefan Mihailo. Good morning, Stefan.
Good morning to you. Thanks for having me.
It's good to have you with us.
Yeah, it's good to catch up.
Yeah, really. And there's a lot that I'd like you to help us with today, because we're in a very unusual time. That's no secret to anybody. But certainly the pressure that must be on governments for revenue, given the fact that retail and other activities are so diminished during these times when we're supposed to stay at home, I guess just until very, very recently. Let's kind of walk back and tell our listeners where revenue comes from for the county.
Yeah, the largest source of revenue is sales tax revenue, northwards of $400 million for the Erie County budget. It is not only significant, but it is the backbone of our entire existence within Erie County government. If you think about it, Peter, we control about 10% of our entire budget when it comes to discretionary spending, roughly $150 to $160 million. And those resources go to very important services that people rely on, our roads, our parks, our libraries, our cultural institutions, the entire office of Erie County Sheriff. And so March, for the month of March, and if you remember, a lot of the economy was open for the month of March, and sales tax revenue was down 20% in Erie County. That's devastating. And so our office has predicted a $200 million deficit, and the Erie County executives is predicting a $170 million deficit, most of it because of that drop in sales tax revenue. People are not shopping in stores like they used to. They're not staying in hotels. They're not attending festivals. They're not attending sporting events. And that's having a crippling impact on the Erie County budget. So the deficit that both yours truly and the county executive that we are predicting is actually more than what we spend and we control for our entire existence. Most of our budget is passed through, and it's mandated by New York State pertaining to social services. So the fiscal gap that we're facing because of the crippling of the economy is actually more than what we spend and have control of within all of Erie County. So I feel very strongly that we have to find a healthy and rational balance of protecting, keeping them safe, but also opening up our economy again and finding a good balance like other states have. And quite frankly, New York hasn't. You know, we've gone in total lockdown mode of all of society, that we can't go to church, we can't shop. And it's had just a terrible effect on the county budget.
Let me just, there's so much that you said there that I'm going to try to dig through a little bit. I used the word balance, and I'm going to come back to that in a minute. But if you were depending in the budget on some $400 million plus in sales tax revenue, and there's going to be a deficit of $200 million, what in the world are the citizens of Erie County going to do to, and the government itself, to make that up? Particularly given the fact that I saw this week that it was that only 4%, the employment total is only 4% now less than it was at the time before all this started in all governments. That's all governments, locally that is, throughout the state. So how in the world?
Well, the governor went too far.
Okay, he went too far. But I mean, how are you going to, just forget what he did? How? We have a problem now. How will you, as county controller, begin to address that?
That's a great question, and a fair and important one. According to the Erie County Charter, the Erie County Controller, me, and the county executive has the authority to declare a deficit. And so we saw that the sales tax revenue was not going to match what was budgeted, so I declared a deficit. And according to the county charter, that kickstarted an automatic process where the county executive would have 7 days to offer a deficit reduction plan, and then 7 days later, I would offer a deficit reduction plan, and then the county legislature would have a few weeks to opine on that and act. And so the county executive issued an emergency order giving himself a month to provide a deficit reduction plan, which would be actually, we believe it's this week, the first week in June. But then I did provide the legislature a 10-point deficit reduction plan to try and keep county government open. I mean, literally keep the lights on in county government. And I gave them 10 different options depending on the severity of future sales tax losses, so that if, you know, there's the potential of cutting vacancies. Now, vacancies in county governments are fully funded but open positions that are not filled by an individual.
Mm-hmm.
One of my first recommendations was eliminate vacant positions immediately. The benefit of that is that if you actually cut a position, a body, so to speak, in county government, by the time it passes the legislature, by the time you give them, these individuals, a few weeks' notice, and the county is self-insured, so we actually pay the unemployment. So it sounds crazy, but in this budget year, there, for the most part, there is no fiscal value in cutting bodies this year because we're still paying the salaries and the unemployment. We've already paid it for 6 months of the year. So my first recommendation was cut vacant positions.
Can I interrupt you there for a second? this is kind of an age-old thing in county government, that there are these positions that have existed that weren't filled but were funded. So if they're not filled at the end of the year and they were funded, is that just become kind of funny money? Is that how you balance a budget?
Yeah, any excess revenues at the end of the year rolls into fund balance, which is really healthy. And that leads to my next recommendation, is that we have a rainy day fund northwards of $100 million. And you never want to use your savings account or your rainy day fund for recurring expenses. You only want to use it for one-time emergencies. And since it's the rainy day fund, we're facing a monsoon of epic proportions right now. So I'm strongly recommending that we dip into that fund balance. We have a one-time revenue problem, and it calls for the use of a one-time rainy day account. So I would strongly recommend to the legislature and county executive that we do that. You know, there's an actual, I'm recommending an actual hiring freeze of non-essential personnel. Even though the county executive said there was a hiring freeze, they are still putting people in positions in weights and measures and parks. And so I'm recommending an immediate hiring freeze. I'm recommending that we not add any positions in the budget 2021. And then the last option, which is really the last resort for county government, is deficit financing. The one thing I'm telling the legislature and the county executive what not to do is to raise taxes. Under zero circumstances should county government raise taxes to offset the loss of sales tax revenue. As you're well aware, we are one of the highest taxed areas in the country when you combine all the different taxes that are facing homeowners. And I'm telling the legislature and county executive, under zero circumstances should they raise taxes next year to offset any budget losses.
So, well, that's what the last two things you mentioned, the deficit financing and taxes, are generally the first two things that governments do. They borrow money and then they raise taxes, or they raise taxes and borrow money. Pick your order, it doesn't matter. Rarely do they do the kinds of things that you're talking about in terms of, this is all governments, cutting for funding for vacancies, the rainy day fund, dipping into that. I think that's always kind of a badge of honor for elected officials, that they produce a positive fund balance. Hiring freeze, I mean, governments are, once someone is hired, generally speaking, that position never goes away. And certainly one of the elements of control in all political environments is how many people work there, how many people you have employed, gives you power. And then no new positions in 2021, you mentioned also, that would be something that also would be a rarity. How do you expect this to go, Stefan? Do you think these measures will be adopted, and has the county executive supplied his own deficit reduction plan? And if so, how do the two line up?
Yeah, I really hope that they do listen, because what legislators cannot do is stick their head in the sand and ignore the problem. I know there's talk of them waiting to see how much federal aid we get in the next stimulus package to potentially offset some of the, you know, whether you believe the county executive that the deficit is $170 million or our office's projection that it's $200 million. You know, some legislators are waiting for the federal government to come in like a, you know, knight in shining armor to just throw money at us and then the problem's going to go away. Well, you know, it's our understanding that there's been public discussions that Senator Charles Schumer has said that Erie County is receiving $83 million in federal aid. Right now, what we know is that the number is zero. Mitch McConnell had said he does not want to bail out traditional so-called blue states that had fiscal problems before the coronavirus hit. New York State was facing a $6 billion deficit prior to COVID-19. So I understand wholeheartedly the argument that the federal government and national taxpayers across the country should not be bailing out states that had fiscal problems because of their mismanagement, like New York, where there were $6 billion in the hole even before coronavirus.
But let me interrupt you again there, Stefan, because, I mean, let's face a fact here. that ship has sailed as far as the, you know, not bailing out thing. There's going to be bailouts because the tough decisions you're talking about, most governments are going to be unwilling to make. They're just going to say, well, you've got to help us because we've got people here. And that's true. They're, at the same time, a government-created problem, I guess, is something that governments have to fix in some way, shape, or form. We have a caller online, Stefan. This is Pat from Aurora. Pat, how can we help you?
Well, my question is, going forward, after the COVID things are over with, what do you plan on doing differently to save money in the future?
Mm-hmm. Very good question.
It is a great question, and that's part of, Pat, in my 10-point deficit reduction plan, I basically said you have to cut positions. I mean, going back to 2013 to present day, the number of county positions has increased by 380, going from 5,690 in 2013 to 6,072 today. So, I've recommended that we have to make some very painful, difficult decisions. And, Peter, you're absolutely right. You know, some politicians are just waiting with their hand out, hoping that the federal government comes in and bails us out. Well, let's just make the argument that we do get the $83 million that Senator Schumer said might be coming Erie County's way. If you're looking at the county executive's number of $170 million deficit, that still leaves us in a potentially $90 million hole. Or even more if the number for the deficit's closer to my $200 million prediction. So government has to make very difficult decisions. They're not going to be popular. They're not going to be well-liked. But too bad. That's what people were elected to do, to govern and to lead during a time of crisis.
Stefan, if I can just comment a little bit on that and then ask a question. My experience from studying government is that legislatures of all sizes and shapes and various levels are built to pass laws. They pass laws, and then to enforce that law, there is some kind of set of regulations. Those regulations need to be enforced by somebody, and those are enforced generally by some type of bureaucracy. And the final step in this whole thing is that bureaucracies exist to perpetuate themselves. So every time any legislature at any level acts, those things have to take place. You don't just pass a law and say, well, gee, things are going to change. Somebody has to make them change. So what type of actions would you advise the legislature to take, or the state legislature, the state senate, the governor himself? What actions would you advise them to take in the wake of this pandemic to bring our cost of government somewhat in line with what projected revenues seem to be?
Have a backbone. And in this case, necessity is the mother of all invention, and they may not have a choice. The decision based on the collapse of the economy may be made for them. And in the case of Erie County government, by law and charter, we have to have a balanced budget. So no matter what, at the end of the year, this county government must have a balanced budget, and the legislature cannot behave like they did in 2005, 2006 during the so-called red-green budget crisis collapse, where they stuck their head in the sand until it was too late and then dealt with some very difficult, painful decisions of closing libraries, closing parks, actually eliminating positions. Again, and that's why I've sounded the alarm going back to, I believe it's even March 11th, we started reaching out to local government saying, there's a problem. You're going to have a drop in your sales tax revenue. Here's what it's going to be if it's this percentage of a loss. So in my capacity as controller, we've sounded the alarm at every level of government, and we've notified numerous times the legislature, town government, school districts, that there is going to be a monumental collapse of sales tax revenue, and start preparing now, which is why I declared a deficit very early in the process when it comes to Erie County government. We did it fairly quickly, and a lot of legislators weren't happy about that. They said, well, why don't we wait and see what the federal government does, and maybe they'll come in and bail us out. No, wrong. You know, under the charter, I'm obligated to declare a deficit, and that's exactly what I did. And I, you know, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make them drink. And I've laid everything out going back to March 11th for the Erie County Legislature. That number one, I've identified the problem. I've given them solutions on how to solve it. And we'll see whether or not they have the backbone, the grit, and the heart to actually solve the problem, or if they're going to kick the can and stick their head in the sand. But, you know, based on everything that I've seen, the only saving grace right now is that we did receive $160 million in federal aid in the first round of coronavirus stimulus. But there are strings attached to that. You know, we initially thought we cannot use it to balance the budget or balance the offset of sales tax revenue. But we are being told that we could use and pay for salaries for people who are fighting COVID-19. So, you know, there is a very small light at the end of the tunnel. But at the end of the day, the legislature in Erie County has been notified since March of this potential collapse and problem. I've given them multiple solutions. The county executive is expected either this week or next to provide his deficit reduction plan. And we're going to sit back and see what the legislature does to solve it.
So you've been at this, though, for 10 or 11, 12 weeks, something like that. Has the legislature been meeting in some way, shape, or form, and have they responded directly?
Yeah, they have. And their reaction has been, quite frankly, very disappointing. They've publicly attacked me and my deputy controller and my staff, questioning why we declared a deficit. And they're questioning how we came up with the methodology.
So you respond, and then?
Well, we told them. Even the county executive has said in a very public fashion that we're facing a deficit of $170 million.
Okay, so we have to go to a break, Stefan. I want you to hold on to that thought, but because I think our people need to understand how we got here, and then in that intervening period of time, and then what we're doing about it. And we'll be right back with more from Our House to Yours with Stefan Mihailu after these important messages.
Hunt has been serving your real estate services needs since 1911. In all that time, Hunt has never lost their commitment to this community, and nothing, including our current challenges, will change that commitment. Hunt will face the challenges as they always have with you, together. Through the power of state-of-the-art technology, they're able to remain open for business at Hunt Mortgage. Call 633-3700 and any of Hunt's mortgage professionals can assist you. Hunt Mortgage is a licensed mortgage banker, New York Department of Financial Services, and an equal opportunity lender.
Welcome back to Our House. This is Peter Hunt, and the show is brought to you by the continuously updated huntrealestate.com, where everything is truly easier for your real estate and home ownership experience. Huntrealestate.com is the only place on the web where you can find a complete inventory of homes available here in Buffalo, Niagara, Rochester, Syracuse, Albany, all across upstate, even out to Phoenix, Arizona, and Boston, Massachusetts through our links. You'll also find access to a complete set of home ownership services at huntrealestate.com, which is powered by Hunt Real Estate ERA. The show is also brought to you by Hunt Mortgage. And for more information about our exclusive program that allows you to effectively buy the before and live the after, it's a very important thing in a city like Buffalo or Rochester, Syracuse, or even Albany, where you've got older housing and these are beautiful homes with many very fine architectural features, but they tend to have things that haven't been updated. And you want to know what you're getting into. This program, the Buy the Before, Live the After, allows you to do that and roll the costs of those home improvements into your mortgage. That's 633-3700 for details. And ask about our pre-purchase commitment and even our warm home loan as well. Only at Hunt Mortgage, 633-3700. And if you've already been qualified by another lender, please call Hunt Mortgage today, 633-3700, and ask them to take a second look. You have nothing to lose and everything to gain. We will either match or beat that plan, or we'll give you a gift certificate. So try it out today. There's nothing in the world to lose. 633-3700. It's not too late until the day that you're getting ready to close. And if you'd just like to pick up the phone and find out anything about real estate, call the only customer service center for real estate in North America, the Hunt Customer Service Center, at 716-633-9400. One of our customer service reps will instantly direct you to the appropriate professional for whatever it is you may need, whether you're considering buying or selling a home, financing a home, insuring a home, or even fixing up the one you have. And remember, our guarantee stands. We will sell your home, or ERA will buy it. That's the seller security plan. There's no greater security anywhere in the real estate world, available only through a Hunt Real Estate ERA professional. I'm live remote today with Stefan Mihailu, the comptroller of Erie County, and we've been talking about the revenue and expense situation in the county given the pandemic today and what that may mean for your taxes. And your taxes will affect the value of your home, as we all know here in Western New York. And our mission here is to help you protect and enhance your investment in real estate. And so obviously this is a very, very important issue. So Stefan, before the break, we were talking about kind of the finger pointing that's going on. It's let's call the federal government. Let's wait for the state to do this. Let's do that. But the actions in the last 11 to 12 weeks to address the situation as you describe it, some $200 million, or even if you use the county executive's number, $170 million of deficit, there is no action that has been taken yet, correct?
That's correct. The Erie County Legislature and the county executive have both said they want to wait and see how much money we're getting from the federal government first before they act on any kind of deficit remediation. And I've made the argument that right now the amount of money that we're getting from the federal government is zero, that the Senate appears in shape or form to start moving on a stimulus package for local governments. And so right now the number is zero. And I think it would be devastating to wait with a handout on, you know, maybe they'll bail us out. And as I stated before, even if Senator Schumer is correct and we do receive $80+ million in federal aid, that's still not going to close the projected $170 million deficit projected by the county executive or the $200 million that I'm predicting.
Well, let me just stop you there, because you said that $160 million was received from the CARES Act.
That's correct.
But so what happened to that?
Yeah, there's very strict strings attached to that according to that CARES Act, it can only be used directly for COVID-related expenses and not for anything that was budgeted. So, for example, sales tax revenue, of course, was budgeted, so we cannot use it in any way, shape, or form to plug any types of those gaps. So the county of Erie must spend that $160 million directly on COVID-related expenses. And if at the end of the year, end of the cycle, if there's money left over, if we don't hit that number, then the money goes back to the federal government. But there's very strict strings attached that we cannot use it to
cover. Well, let's look at one big piece of that, ECMC. Obviously, they're not they've got a hole to plug, too, through this process. So could the money there be used there?
No, and it's even worse, because keep in mind, the county taxpayers and federal taxpayers under Obamacare, it's called an IGT payment, intergovernmental transfer payment. We cover the losses, the county and the federal government, at ECMC. They split half the losses, the feds, and we cover the other half. And that payment alone is upwards of $70 million in the past. Mm-hmm. The news is even worse when it comes to the fiscal health of Erie County government, which is why I declared a deficit very early in the process. And that's exactly why I've been sounding the alarm on this since early March, that we need to start working and dealing with it now. And I've given the legislature a 10-point deficit reduction plan, and it's up to them to do something.
We've got a bunch of callers. We've hit a nerve out there, Stefan. Let's see what some callers have to say. This is Frank from Williamsville. Frank, how can we help you?
Just as a commentary, it's hard to watch what's going on. When I just retired from my 30-year career, and I think there was at least 10 to 15 layoffs that we had to go through when the company wasn't doing well. And it doesn't seem fair to the private sector folks that the public sector has such a different set of rules. And they can have things like $100 million slush funds, basically, or jobs, no-show job, on their accounting sheets. I just don't get it. It seems to me that if you don't have money, you can't spend it until you lower your expenses and get it. And there's only one source of revenue for the government, and that's us taxpayers, citizens, whether it's the federal government, the state, the county, or whatever it is. We're the only people who have the ability to pay for mm-hmm. bill. So it seems almost a morality issue as well, that some of these things, they're just not right, and I just wanted to let you know.
Well, I think you voiced the opinion of many people, Frank. How would you respond to Frank, Stefan?
I agree with Frank 100%. that there's a lot of pain being felt by families, by private sector companies, all because of the decisions of a governor who I think went too far in shutting down the economy. We become Venezuela. Everyone's reliant on the government now for their existence. They can't go to church. Capitalism is dead. And we have to rely on government for existence. And I agree wholeheartedly with Frank. You know, part of the reductions that I proposed the county executive were 7 positions in my own office out of about 32. So I'm willing to make very difficult decisions, and I'm starting with my own office, and I hope other leaders in government follow suit. He's absolutely right. That's the reason why people are leaving New York State in droves. It's not because of the weather, as the governor has stated. It's because people are fed up, and they're taking off to better economic climates, like states down south, right-to-work states, where taxes are low.
Well, as a practical matter, though, as we've talked about, governments at all levels, and I'm not blaming the county or anybody else, are loath to cut their costs. I mean, it's just not, it just doesn't happen. And we've got a budget at the state level that's twice as large as the state of Florida's, for example, the whole state. And there's more people in Florida than there are in New York State now. And they have become a haven for people seeking to pay lower taxes. So you've got all these very, very, difficult circumstances that are facing the residents of New York State and Erie County, Niagara County, every county in upstate, all through the state. Yet we have no incentive, or there's no real drive at the government level to make the kind of changes necessary to get us to a better place. Am I wrong in assuming that? But I don't want to point fingers at anybody. It just doesn't seem like there's any kind of impetus at all to make the kind of changes we ultimately need.
You're 100% correct. I mean, you mentioned Florida. Their governor, DeSantis, he did it right when it comes to the coronavirus crisis. You know, it's my understanding they locked down nursing homes, they quarantined the elderly and in hospitals, and for the most part, they had very sensible restrictions on their economy, which was open. And their deaths were lower, and yet we have a governor in New York State that sent sick seniors with coronavirus back into nursing homes. And remember, New York State was facing a $6 billion deficit before coronavirus hit. And so at some point in time, the dam is going to break. And you're right. Politicians have been sticking their finger in the dam and borrowing and spending and overtaxing in New York State. And the circumstances surrounding COVID-19, I believe, is finally going to be the break in the dam.
Well, let's take one more call here quickly. This is Jim from North Tonawanda. Jim, how can we help you?
Yeah, well, I got a question for you guys. Now, I'm not trying to be a troublemaker or the voice of doom and gloom, but this seems very logical to me. If you guys disagree, I want you to tell me, but the economy of America has been shut down since approximately, 21st, 22nd of March, whatever it was. And we don't even have to discuss the devastating, catastrophic economic effects of that.
Mm-hmm.
But on top of that, now we've got all these riots going on, and I'm going to tell you something, and this is something I have personal experience with. The insurance companies, when you start costing the insurance company any money, they will no longer underwrite your policy, and they cancel you. Now, last night, I don't know if you guys know this, the corporate headquarters of CNN, the way I understand it, is in Atlanta, Georgia. The rioters made it to the downstairs lobby, and at the very last minute, they totally trashed the downstairs lobby of CNN.
Well, I get where are you going with this, Jim?
The Atlanta police got there to stop.
And where are you going to this, Jim?
How are we going to rebuild when the insurance companies tell the liquor stores, Target, Walmart, if you rebuild in this area, mm-hmm. we're not going to underwrite, we're canceling your insurance. Have you, the politicians, thought how much revenue they're going to lose?
I think Jim's point is clear that, and it's not just Jim's point. The fact of the matter is when these, and I don't know how we got on this, it certainly wasn't the topic for today, but when a neighborhood is burned down, no matter how it happens, it takes decades to repair for at least part of the reason, is as Jim points out. The risk factor for the future businesses and the insurance costs, et cetera. that would go into those same spots that were burned before. So this is a terrible problem, but that's another problem, unfortunately, we can't deal with today. That would be...
Just say, in bigger picture, I mean, the collapse of the economy, I mean, how do you rebuild it?
That's right. And we want to come back and talk. We have to go to a break, and I want to come back and find out what you believe at the county level needs to be done besides the 10-point plan that you have discussed already. Thank you very much. We'll be right back with more from our house chairs after these important messages.
Hunt has been serving your real estate services needs since 1911. In all that time, Hunt has never lost their commitment to this community, and nothing, including our current challenges, will change that commitment. Hunt will face the challenges as they always have with you, together. Through the power of state-of-the-art technology, they're able to remain open for business at Hunt Mortgage. Call 633-3700 and any of Hunt's mortgage professionals can assist you. Hunt Mortgage is a licensed mortgage banker, New York Department of Financial Services, and an equal opportunity lender.
Welcome back to our house. This is Peter Hunt, and the show is brought to you by the continuous update at huntrealestate.com, which is powered by Hunt Real Estate ERA here in Buffalo, Niagara, and all across upstate. The show is also brought to you by Hunt Mortgage, home of the pre-purchase commitment and the low rate and closing cost guarantee, and also the Second Look program. Don't forget about that. Absolutely no lose proposition for you. That's at 633-3700. We are live remote today with Stefan Mihailu, the controller of the County of Erie. And we've been talking. We got way out of our wheelhouse there a moment ago. Stefan, I want to try to bring you back a little bit, but we do have a lady that's been waiting for quite a while on the line here. This is Sharon from Niagara County. Sharon, how can we help you?
Hi. I'm from Niagara Falls, and I'm a small business owner. And I wanted to know, I wish we had people like Stefan controlling our city right now, because I feel when I sit down in Niagara Falls, I go and take a walk. I'm right near the falls. It's like naked Niagara. There is no retail sales. There are no restaurants hardly open. It's just, if you took a picture of it, you would cry. And besides that, not only don't we have real retail, we don't have tourism on top of it all, of which New York City takes a lot of. There has to be some differences there has to be some solutions to this problem.
Mm-hmm.
And as a small business owner, I'm going to tell you something. I'm a retired 70-year-old business owner, works 3 days a week. And when I saw my savings going down to $3, you have to put the budget on. You got to know when to put the levy on. What I'm getting to is, what can Niagara Falls do, and when are we going to open, and how can Buffalo Niagara help us?
It's an interesting question. Do you communicate, Stefan, with your counterparts in Niagara County?
Yeah, all over New York State, actually. There's a few independently elected controllers across New York State. Most are appointed, but we communicate every single day, whether it's via email, phone calls, especially during this crisis. But Sharon, what I would say to you is that leaders at the local level, whether it's Niagara County or Erie County, they have to have the guts to tell Governor Cuomo to go to hell and that we're going to open up the economy again, whether you like it or not. You know, Florida did that. You know, Florida had very reasonable health care restrictions to keep people safe. And coronavirus is serious and clearly deadly. But is the cure worse than the disease itself? You know, the government is crippling permanently sections of our economy that I fear will never come back again.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's stop there for a second, because certainly this is all over the media, a million different places, what you're saying. The other side of that, though, is what are we going to do about it? And let's start here with Erie County, Niagara County, all across upstate is essentially the same problem. What is the other side of, what does this look like in your mind, Stefan? We're going to reopen. Supposedly, we're in phase two that started in parts of the state yesterday and will start in the rest of the state on Tuesday, most of the rest of the state except New York City. So what's the other side look like to you?
Well, I think the other side is moving too slow. that I firmly believe.
So what does it look like? Forgetting what, how fast it's moving, how do we come out of this? And what are the steps needed to get there?
The economy moving again and get sales tax revenue into the hands of governments and school districts and local municipalities. You're going to see local governments basically shut down and turn over the keys in New York State and say, fine, you didn't let us open, you crippled our economy. You take care of our parks, you take care of our roads, you take care of our jails, and you open up our libraries. That's exactly what's going to happen. That's what I see.
Well, then we just keep pointing the finger at the next highest level of government. So it doesn't stop, and then ultimately the national government prints money, or in other ways just builds the money supply so that it, and then shoves it back down the pipe. But the fact of the matter is, none of the other underlying governments are going to do much to change, or will they, or could they, or should they?
Well, I mean, you look at other states, so-called red states that are open, that are putting in limited but restrictive access when it comes to healthcare and coronavirus, and they're opening up their economy again. And I think what you're going to see is, in so-called red states, you come back roaring again, like no one has ever seen before, that kind of an economic recovery. And in blue states like New York State, where Governor Cuomo and other blue states across the region that had a $6 billion deficit before, it's going to get even worse. And so what I see, unfortunately, is more, you know, grandparents never seeing their grandkids unless they hop on a plane to a southern state.
Stefan, I'm going to stop you there, because I think this is something we've kind of talked about ad nauseum in this part of the state, and really all through New York State for a long time. And it's always comes down to the same thing. One side points to the other side points to the other, et cetera, et cetera. But the fact of life is really what we talked about earlier. The only way for this to change is for the cost of government to go down, thus relieving people of a tax burden. The issue with that is that there's a lot of people employed at all governmental levels, and what do they do? So our unemployment goes up, so there's more costs associated with that. And it's kind of a vicious vortex, a flushing sound, that so far as I can see, there hasn't been one politician elected anywhere in this state that has done much to change that. So we've got 7 minutes left, 7.5 minutes left in the show here. If you could design some way out of this without, forget what's happened, okay? We can't say, do a thing about what's happened. Design our way out of this thing for the citizens of Erie County, Niagara County, and all of upstate. What would you do?
At the state level, government needs to do exactly what is taking place with companies in the private sector and with families. If you don't have money in your bank account, if you don't have the resources, you don't spend it, and you live within your means.
Okay, so what do you do?
Again, you cut the size of government in New York State.
Okay, cut the size of government. Where do you start?
100%.
Where do you start?
You start with the taxes and spending. You reduce taxes so that you put money back into those that generate income in the private sector. You take it away from government. And you start with a bloated program like Medicaid, where we're spending more than, you know, you mentioned states like Florida and Texas and California. Some of those states combined spend less than New York State on that.
Mm-hmm.
Pencil and a spreadsheet, and I can do it in 30 minutes when it comes to cutting the cost of government in New York State.
Okay, let's say you could do it in 30 minutes. What stops you or any elected official from doing the things that seemingly people recognize as being essential if we're going to get the costs in line? A business has to do this. All the businesses that the lady that called in from Niagara Falls, every business has been shut down, has faced 10 or 11 or 12 weeks of little or no revenue. They've got to do something, okay? They don't have a choice. Government does, apparently, right?
It's three words, and it's a classic problem that's plagued New York State for generations. Three words, New York City. Like it or not, the harsh reality is New York City controls the New York State Senate, and New York City controls the New York State Assembly. And
okay, I'm going to interrupt you again. There's nothing in the world we can do about that. Okay, right now. There's nothing in the world we can do about that. And we've talked about this many times, the impact of downstate and upstate, who gives more to whom and all that other stuff. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter because it's if you take the individual property owner, as you pointed out earlier, the real property taxes, their contribution to the county budget, sales tax contribution to the county budget. These are all reflective of the level of enterprise in our community. So we can't sever New York City off the state, or we can't secede from the state. So we've got that problem that exists. What do we do? We can't change that. What are we going to do besides that?
Well, at the local levels, keep fighting the good fight like I have been and many other conservatives had at every level of local government to enact policies and procedures that cut taxes and cut government.
Okay, so we cut taxes. We know how difficult that is. We've seen that happen in the
people
past.
The private sector have the chance to leave, and that's what's happening. And that's
okay, again, we know this, but I'm looking for a constructive solution here. So the first thing you said is cut taxes. Okay. That requires an act of the various legislatures at various levels to do that. We've seen how often that has happened. What's next? Let's say it does happen. What else can we do?
It's very simple. It's a simple solution, but I don't know if politicians have the heart to do it, whether they're in New York City, Albany, or Buffalo. And that's live within their means. It's very simple. Don't spend money that you don't have, and reduce the amount of money within the walls of government that you should have. It's very simple.
Okay. It's simple, but you know, as my father used to tell me about business, business tends to be simple, but it's not easy. And I hear the same thing from what you're saying here. It's simple, yes. Cut taxes, limit government, live within your means. I get all that, but getting from here to there, where that hasn't been the case almost forever, how do we get that process started?
Well, I think, and I mentioned this before, necessity is the mother of all invention.
And we've got a hole right now.
Right, and I think finally that governments are going to be hitting a rock bottom that they've never experienced before, and I don't think they're going to have a choice but to do the things that I discussed. And it's because they want to, it's going to be because they have to.
Okay, that I could agree with, except that as soon as that discussion starts, just what you said earlier starts to happen. We start kicking the can uphill. We kick it to the next highest level of government, the next highest level of government, until it lands in the Senate or the House of Representatives or the President's desk or the Federal Reserve, and then we take some monumental action which just perpetuates the process.
I would agree wholeheartedly. But again, I think the circumstances of coronavirus and the collapse of the economy are going to prevent and stop, whether it's the local level, the state level, or federal level, of kicking that can, because there's going to be nothing left to kick.
I certainly hope you're right, Stefan. I really do. So let's go back to what we have to do right now, because I would like to end on just so people understand what's going to happen right now. You've declared a deficit. So the county executive has said there's a deficit. You differ somewhat. You have produced a deficit reduction plan. The county executive is going to be producing a deficit reduction plan. Then what happens? It goes to the legislature. Do they then have to decide on what happens?
That's correct. The Erie County Legislature, made up of 11 members spread across the entire county of Erie, they're going to take the county executive's plan. They're going to take mine. And they can pass one or the other, or take elements of both and combine them, or they can do nothing. The ball is in their court right now. What I wanted to do is make sure they had a lengthy list of options, depending on the severity of the deficit, that, you know, again, I mentioned 10 different options that they could use. And if the deficit is severe at the end of the year, they can use all 10. If we do get some relief from the federal government, or if the economy rebounds earlier than expected, then maybe they choose one or two different options. I just wanted to make sure that I did my job as controller and CFO of the county to lay out the problem, identify it, and then offer them solutions on how to fix it. But at the end of the day, it's going to take courage and heart. Mm-hmm. Very difficult decisions to balance that budget, and we'll see if they have it.
Stefan, we've got 20 seconds left. If our listeners wanted to get in touch with you or your office? How would they do that?
They can call 716-858-8004. That's my direct line. Leave a message over the weekend, and we'll be happy to get back to people during the business week.
Stefan Mihailu, Comptroller of Erie County, thank you very much for being with us this morning.
Thank you. Great discussion.
Great discussion is right.